Hello, everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the Laser Time Network Simpsons podcast. This is your, I guess I'm the host, maybe?
Indeed you are.
Probably. Bob Mackey. You know me from Retronauts.
Wow, Bob Mackey.
Thank you so much.
There you go.
That clip gets played so often on Laser Time these days. Woo-hoo! I love it. Even when I'm not here.
Even when you're mentioned, you have a clip that gets played.
Yes. And who else is here today?
Chris Antista. I would say the biggest Simpsons fan in the room.
Wow, we're going to fight.
We'll fight it out!
I'm Henry Gilbert. And isn't this show about fighting each other to see who the greatest Simpson fan is?
There's going to be a lot of e-penises thrown around.
Well, executive producer credits?
Yes.
Sweet.
I think these days you win being the best Simpsons fan by being how cynical. Who can be the most cynical about something?
It's who stopped watching first.
Right? That's right. And what does Talking Simpsons do, Bobby?
We are going to go through every episode, presumably, unless one of us dies, which hopefully won't happen during a recording. But we're going to start where it all started, and that's with the Christmas special, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire.
Indeed.
Did I forget anything about what we're doing?
No, okay. No. This Talking Simpsons will hopefully discuss every episode of The Simpsons in order, but only Patreon donors are hearing my voice right now. This is on YouTube. Stop listening. It's illegal.
So because of you, I'm taking a treasure bath when I get home with all of your quarters.
Money fight.
Hopefully.
See, this is a great place, a repository for all our Simpsons references that infect every other podcast.
And so hopefully we had to give Dave his own wrestling show so he'd stop bringing it up on regular shows. Mm. So maybe we'll get the.
So now we're just quarantining Simpsons references.
Quarantining is a good word.
Until Laser Time, the regular show has just very normal discussions with no divergences.
Obviously, this is a bit of proof of concept-y. We have a structure. We have a lot of stuff planned. We have a lot of clips from this show. One of the things we wanted to do this episode is focusing on the first episode of The Simpsons that ever aired, and that is called what?
Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire.
That's right. Even though it says it is technically a Christmas special.
And it's technically the 8th episode produced.
Something like that,
yeah. 7th or 8th.
It was just the only one ready to air in time because the first one went to shit.
Yes, it did.
But we will get into that when we talk about that episode. Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire. It debuted December 17th, 1989. And because we wanted to give you a little bit of perspective, a little bit of context for when the show is airing, we have something we call This Week in Simpsons. Aha, so this week in Simpsons history, that's right. See where I'm going with this? This week in Simpsons history, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation sits atop the box office. TV is ruled by the Golden Girls, The Cosby Show, and at number one with 23 million viewers, Roseanne.
23 million viewers.
And to put this in more of a cultural context, this week MTV announced it will no longer run music videos 24/7 and focus on original programming and series.
Whoa.
And I love that's been pointed out better in other places, but the complaint that MTV doesn't play music videos anymore is old enough to buy booze.
I didn't realize there was a formal announcement. I thought just
the
real world started playing and we were all just like, okay.
No, it's just we were too young to care. We were too young to care.
Well, we didn't have the internet to tell us media news all the time. This is like probably just from a trade paper and the rest of America was not obsessed with it.
I was not reading Variety at age 9, or age 7 rather. So should we like lay the groundwork for contextualize what the Simpsons were in this time for America.
Looking at
Roseanne being number one should let everyone know, like,
yeah, where things were going.
Yeah.
And the Cosby Show is up there, but I believe when I'm looking at the ratings, I looked at the ratings for next week. Cheers had to be in a rerun because that show was huge.
Well, usually by the second half of December, everything's in a rerun, and they're getting out of the way of the Christmas specials. You know,
yeah.
So like this episode, which was a Christmas special.
Well, the title card says Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
It does not say Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire.
Well,
and it was submitted to the Emmys as a special.
Oh,
is that a way to get two Emmys?
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, so to this point, the Simpsons were a recurring bit on the Tracy Ullman Show, one of the first original programming on the Fox network, which was really just. It wasn't even a network. It was like they just took over UHF channels, and from 8 to 10, they had original programming on them, like Married with Children, Tracy Ullman, and shows no one remembers.
And did you endure Tracy Ullman episodes as a child?
I absolutely
for those little
did.
Nuggets of Simpsons?
I absolutely, absolutely did not.
Because to see the... Once I saw, like, literally 30 seconds of yellow people hitting each other and farting or belching, like... I just had to keep watching. So I'd see Tracy Ullman sing a very old variety show song or something. Or see
Go
her,
home, hey.
Or see her playing a 13-year-old girl being raised by two gay men. Like, I'd see all those things just to watch it. But then the thought of seeing... Like, I'd see it in scant bits, but then the thought of seeing a whole show that's only The Simpsons.
I never saw this. Amazing. I did not see the Ullman stuff until, well, probably the 138th episode, Spectacular. And then I remember Comedy Central ran an ad like, New Year in Comedy Central. I don't remember what year. Coming to Comedy Central, and it's showing The Simpsons. And I'm like flipping tables over. Holy shit, The Simpsons is coming to Comedy Central.
What
this
does
is
it
great.
Weird, yeah.
Why does this look so old? And it was the Tracy Ullman show. I'm like, There are two great sketches in that show. It's pretty terrible. I did not like it. It's not for me.
Well, that's
it's for my mom.
Well, and those Simpsons, as primitive as these episodes mm-hmm. first season look, the shorts are incredibly simple.
It's the weird gradient stuff that like there's no hard colors.
Well, and their character faces just shift all the time.
Yeah, there's really not a model they're sticking to.
Castellaneta's going full Matow with his impression.
There's a little bit of Jackie Gleason in there, I noticed, too, like, today. Just, like, the sing-songy nature of his voice. But
frosty chocolate milkshakes.
That's, like, sub-season zero.
Yes.
That's, like, Dan Castellaneta's, like, night dreams? I don't
know. Here's something interesting before we get into a long-form discussion of the episode that Henry sent me. Some beautiful person via YouTube... has submitted all of the commercials from the original airing. And I tape this. I'd never heard of The Simpsons. I saw a commercial. I'm like, that looks cool and intriguing. Mm-hmm. It clearly struck me as something that was a little more adult just via the commercials. So I taped it. And when you sent me this, it brought back flashbacks like crazy. Like, it triggered things I thought were long dead.
Listen to the sounds. Listen to the sounds of a home. Apples.
I haven't thought about apple cinnamon Cheerios in years, but I remember that creepy ass kid in the commercial. Because I watched this tape over and over again, so I saw all of this stuff, like this promo, to give you even more context for what was going on right now.
No wonder Al Bundy's life is so miserable. Look who he's got for a guardian angel.
Loser!
Sam Kinison in a 1 hour Married with Children tonight.
What a simple ad.
But this is, I wrote about this when we were talking on LaserTimePodcast.com. We were talking about The Simpsons' 25th anniversary. I loved the special. There was no internet. I was eight. I'm not reading trades. I had no idea we were getting more of this. So in my territory, they reran the show. I loved it. It was I don't want to go too much in that article. Two things. I'd never seen a character that was like me on a show. I was a problem child. I got better grades than Bart. But getting into trouble, I remember my whole childhood, I thought adults hated me. And this, every time I met a new adult, they would just automatically hate me because of who I was, because I wasn't looking at my behavior. It was depressing. And then I saw Bart accidentally get into trouble and create hell for the people around him, and it made me recognize my behavior. Two, it was the first thing I laughed at as much as my dad did, but in different parts. And also, as a context of time, I did not know there was another show coming. And on the second airing that they did in my territory, this was the commercial that played.
Hi, gang. This is Bart Simpson. Now that I am a huge star...
Bart!
Now that we're all huge stars, The Simpsons are getting their own series premiering Sunday, January 14th on Fox.
Oh, my God. Wow. I'm so glad you found that. I was going to say, I remember seeing that commercial, too, and I lost it. I was like, there'll be more of these, like, all the time?
Oh, it was so exciting.
I was how old were I was 7 when this aired.
I was also 7. Yeah. Like,
and I guess you were 9.
I was probably 9. Yeah.
I don't know how we heard about this, but it was on the cover of my weekly like newspaper TV insert, like the weekly TV guide.
Sure.
There was the Simpsons on there, and like, what is this? This is cool. My family and I watched this together, and then during Christmas, everyone who came over to visit was talking about the special. Like, did you see that Simpsons special? And, like, people had recorded it.
It was overnight. It did feel like an overnight success.
Yeah. And I think so many of my anecdotes in watching and doing this show, it's like, I can remember so vividly talking about this in the recess yard the next day.
No, yeah, I think we'll probably say this a lot on the show, or at least I will, that watching these again and fully taking it in, it is, I'm getting flashes of my childhood or where I was when I saw the show, and And yeah, this it really was something else to see it December 17th. Okay, so we should do what this episode was.
Yeah, what the episode is about. A brief summation of the episode. What do you think, Biebi?
Well, I'm sure this is the one everyone has seen the most, I'm guessing. At least people our age have probably seen
season one.
This won't surprise anybody who knows us, but it's going to Patreon donators. I had a Christmas special website, a cartoonchristmas.com, where we reviewed over 100 Christmas specials. Due to having no competition, I'm probably a Christmas special expert. This holds up absurdly well as a Christmas special. It feels more modern and traditional than I think there's two Christmas specials maybe that can say that. I think Prep and Landing, really good, and Community. Ever since then, are the only things I'd call modern classic Christmas specials. Everything else is garbage, is shit.
I think the reason it holds up is something The Simpsons backed away from, and that's the worry about money, realistic money problems, which that was also a thing on Roseanne, getting their power shut off because they couldn't pay a bill. There are no TV characters or TV families that worry about paying bills anymore.
This is true. They all live in a giant house, and The Simpsons kind of live in a giant house.
They do live in a huge house. I mean, their house is still like three bedrooms and three bathrooms.
And the unseen rumpus room. I can't wait till we get to the episodes. Where we can
phases in and out of existence.
But yeah, losing $200 can ruin The Simpsons.
And that's what happens in the episode. Because the episode
I'm one of those guys. So what happens in the episode, it's a really simple plot. Homer does not get his company bonus because the power plant has to increase safety regulations so everyone else but management gets screwed, which is a thing we've all been through, I think, as working stiffs. And so Homer becomes a mall Santa and then even loses at that. So by the end of the episode, they end up winning a dog at the track by losing all of their money.
Yeah, by losing. That is the most traditional Christmas beat there is. And I think people might miss out on it when they're like, it's so dark. I'm like, but it gets really Christmassy at the end.
It gets really Christmassy. I mean, they're all singing around a piano.
Oh, my
credits.
God. That's right. There's a lot of rules The Simpsons hadn't defined for itself. The biggest one I noticed in this, every scene is transitioned with a dissolve.
There are
no more dissolves on The Simpsons.
Yeah. Well, there's no opening to it. There's no opening thing. So by the next episode, when you see the theme song and the couch gag and the board, you don't get any of that in this.
It is absent of the theme song.
And this has to introduce so many things. Yeah. We could fill this whole episode of just saying, this was the first this.
I knew about the production order, it was a marvel to watch this 20 years ago before I knew it was the seventh in production order. How many characters it seemed to have refined and in place and introducing.
Just by getting that far. Though, also, the credited writer on this is Mindy Pond, who never wrote another episode.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that was her and how much of it was the writing room.
Yeah.
But it could have been a freelance script that they got for the Christmas special or something. And I don't know.
She apparently, all I found out about her in a wiki search is that she is a professional cartoonist.
Huh.
So I'm wondering if she had a Matt Groening connection and just she came in from the cartooning world. And she's written for other things, too. But okay. But yeah, you go straight into the talent show, and that just, it was such a...
Where I always thought it was a little unnerving, you feel like you see Lisa's vagina.
No, I, for the longest time, thought she was bottomless in that.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first real joke of the episode, too. You have to wait a minute until there's a real joke.
It is
long. It's very, very
These were simpler times. Immediately, Maggie's star outfit became iconic.
I mean, I guess counts as a joke.
It did count as a joke. It was something we all we all connected with. I remember people talking about it. I remember being on merchandise.
And her sucking her pacifier so loud.
Yes. Yeah, that was not something a character would do. I think of it Rick burping on Rick and Morty. Just this affectation that a character does not have, but they gave it to him.
And apparently, because of when it aired, it's the first appearance of Mo, Barney, Patty, Selma, Grandpa, Ned and Todd Flanders, Milhouse, Lewis, Seymour Skinner, Sherry and Terry, Wendell, Mr. Burns, Ralph Wiggum, Santa's Little Helper, and Snowball 2, and Waylon Smithers.
They also have an abandoned version of Skinner, a character trait they didn't carry over past season 3, where he would get words wrong.
Well, there's a ton
really?
Of... This is full of abandoned jokes like that. But this children in their medley of...
That's right.
He says flavorites, I think. After
flavorite,
It's that was Skinner's, one of his jokes about him that they didn't really do.
And I did the best research I could, and the biggest first for me... And I did as much research. This is the first primetime cartoon. I mean, in a while period.
Yeah,
but
for
the
sure.
First, this might be the first primetime cartoon ever to curse.
Dad, I didn't know it was you.
Nobody knows. It's a secret. I didn't get my bonus this year, but to keep the family from missing out on Christmas, I'd do anything.
Oh, say, Dad, you must really love us to sink so low.
Now, let's not get mushy, son. I still have a job to do. Hey, little one, Santa's back. Ho, ho, yo! Damn it!
I freaked out when I heard him say,
my jaw hit the floor. And I'm allowed to watch this!
Cartoons
can say this?
My parents are
right behind
me! Yeah. Mm-hmm. That
and cartoon characters smoking in the background in this show, like, yeah. Just a touch of extra sleaziness
yes.
that you didn't see anywhere else.
Well, I think that's one of the many things that dates the show. I can't believe like elements that still exist in the show. People smoking indoors. Mm-hmm. We'll get into those when we.
But when
have more
Bart,
specifics.
Okay, well, going chronologically too, when mm-hmm. Bart sings, I'd never heard Batman the Batmobile
never,
version
never.
Of that before. Like I. And they talk on the commentaries that they take pride in. They popularize that with children. They mm-hmm. it was a kid's song. That version of Jingle Bells was something they'd heard.
Like
the writers
the 60s,
had heard
right?
as kids,
yeah.
And now they introduced it to a whole new generation of children by showing it there. They took a bit of pride. Like, had you ever heard it before?
No,
any?
Never.
I did the summer before, so when I saw it on TV, I'm like, how did they know this?
You yeah. fucking hipster. Yeah, old.
I was first. With all the kid memes, I was first.
It put a post-it note underneath the television representing the first comment.
Well, and the same with the ending song, too. Like, I never heard that Rudolph song.
I didn't hear that one, no.
Though, when it was funny, 2 years later, I transferred schools mm-hmm. and went to a new school, and at the... they had a Christmas event, like a Christmas tradition that mm-hmm. one of the teachers would sing a parody version of Rudolph and mm-hmm. all the kids would sing along. And it was one of these first times I'd ever as a kid felt the anxiety of everybody in the room knows what the rules are except for me mm-hmm. and I have to fit in. And they're singing a song that turns out to be like 70% The Simpsons song, but she made variations on it. And when I miss those variations by singing the Simpsons version, like people, I felt like the worst person in the world. I was like,
man.
I'm terrible. They sing wrong. But anyway.
But yeah, here's one of the biggest takeaways for me. This is what, it's so weird watching this because I watched it so many times. But obviously Bart was my surrogate. And not Homer. Homer is now, I think I'm as old as Homer, almost.
Yeah, like, I think he's 42 now.
Well,
he was 38
him up
for a
when
while.
They made him 38.
I'm only
I
going by on
the
arcade
35.
Machine. The arcade machine, he says, it's like,
35?
It says like 38 or 36.
Okay.
But I was Bart's age, like his actual age when the show aired. Mm-hmm. And now I am actually Homer's age. It's really depressing to think about.
Says a lot about
But also kudos
things.
To The Simpsons. So this, to me, was the funniest joke, and it'll also give you a little insight on the plot of the entire episode.
Ow, quit it. Ow, quit it.
Funniest thing I ever saw.
Ow, quit it. Ow, quit
it's very,
it.
Very hey, life in hell.
Ow, quit it. Used to be a real boss tattoo.
But Mom had to spend all the Christmas money having it surgically removed.
Hmm? It's true. The jar is empty. Oh, my God. We're ruined. Christmas is canceled. No presents for anyone.
Don't worry, Homer.
So the another dated thing I noticed there, very lightly, there's a couple things in this episode. Sound Foley work. So like I think the hallmark of the first season is hearing footsteps. Fucking hate that. But also back in 1989, when a boy was watching TV on his own, the sound effect emitting from the TV that you didn't see was neighing horses to imply a Western.
Thought it'd be machine guns too.
Yeah, so,
but
wow.
and that's what Bart's there's literally
like
nothing
Western.
On program on the TV that Bart like a kid would be watching making those sounds nowadays. At all.
Though boy, I the bit as a kid too, that was a revelation to me that that your parents had to pay for Christmas and that there was this thing called like they could run out of money and not have enough. I sound like a very spoiled child saying these things, but as a 7-year-old like I didn't know you could run out of money and not have enough for presents. Like,
it was pretty, like, I don't know. It feels, when I was watching it again, I was like, this was a animated cartoon special, Christmas special, that immediately it's like, there's no Santa Claus. Here's how the Santa Claus things work. Like, I was smart enough to know
and
that.
And they're
but,
fake and they're cynical, too.
Yeah, it's like they get paid crap.
When do we get paid?
And Barney's, like, a drunk.
Hey!
Yeah.
Well, and then Bart is super cynical, too. And one of his first lines is, there's only one fat guy who's going to give us stuff, and it ain't Santa.
Yes.
That's a dark, like, Bart's mostly a joke machine until halfway through when he... But he's definitely treated as a B character on the show, I think.
It is. And, guys, this is our proof of concept episode, but just so you know, towards the end of the episode, we will deliberate on our line of the show. But what I thought would be my line of the show, I captured, so I sort of get to dictate. I thought would be my line. This made me laugh a lot, and for some reason, it still does. It was going to go to Todd Flanders.
Ow! Oh, Simpson, it's you.
Hello, Flanders.
Oh, my, what a little mess we've got here. Well, which ones are yours and which ones are mine?
Well, let's see.
Oh, this one's mine, and this one's mine, this one's mine, and...
they're all yours.
Hey, Mr. Simpson, you dropped your pork chop.
I don't know why that would... that still makes me laugh a lot, because it's Todd... It seems like Flanders is less a goody-goody here.
Oh, yeah.
But more actually mocking him. Ooh, this one's mine. And Todd is. Mm-hmm. Mr. Simpson, you dropped your pork chop. Squeak, squeak.
He was more of like a yuppie-ish character.
Yes.
He's like,
there was no Jesus in his life.
Yeah.
He was a godless person, that's for sure. Yeah. And that Flanders may as well have been anybody, you know? Like, he didn't... Flanders, they weren't setting up to be one of the major characters of the entire series.
Yeah.
And as they said on the commentaries, he was designed by Rich Moore, the designer who, on this episode, was just the main board artist. Who would later, in the next season, he would be one of their main directors. Mm-hmm. He would be the supervising director on The Critic and the Futurama.
And the director of Wreck-It Ralph.
And
right?
The director of Wreck-It Ralph.
He's
about.
Great. Yeah.
I got to interview him.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
I got to go to the Wreck-It Ralph premiere and interview him. And he was a really nice guy, and... At the end, I tried to be as professional as possible. I was just like, yeah, Wreck-It Ralph, blah, 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 question, question, question. And then in the end, I was like, oh, I'm the biggest Simpsons fan in the world. And I wish I had brought the Simpsons season 4 thing would be like, Marge versus the Monorail. So
well, if you look at the one of the nerds in the show, who they colored him black for the Homer versus College episode, the guy with the buck teeth and glasses is a caricature of Rich Moore. Yes. He's not black, though.
Yes.
As long as we're talking about animators, I wanted to say this other thing I found out from the commentary is that it's a general trivia bit people know that the former frontman of No Doubt / brother of Gwen Stefani, Eric Stefani, is a cartoonist and artist, and he was the animator for the show.
He left the band on The Simpsons.
Yeah, though he apparently still gets like a cut of, like, they later said that when he was working there, and they're like, could you draw this thing? He was getting like gold records and all this.
Wow.
But he laid out the first Patty and Selma scene, the scene in the episode,
really?
Okay. Like in the commentaries, David Silverman, the director of the episode, calls out, Eric Stefani directed this, and he was like just a couple of years away from his band being the biggest thing in the world.
Man.
And yeah, that was... I don't want to segue into my... Are we almost done?
I have
lots more notes.
Yeah, keep going.
I have a line. Okay, so...
Guys, just so you know, we're shooting for kind of a half an hour, but obviously we're going to go longer in our first episode.
It's not a classic line. It's what this line makes me think of. It's when Bart gets the tattoo, and the guy is like, are you over 21? And he says, yes, sir. And he gets pulled into the store.
Get in a chair.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever I click on an age gate, I immediately think of that scene every time. So every time I do that, which is probably like once a day, I think of the scene because it's that much of like a worthless like gateway, like whatever, go over.
I meant to get one of the most important hallmarks of the Simpsons, the era that we all really care about, is the original music. And when Marge sees his tattoo, there is a sound cue there is from like my stock sound effect Hanna-Barbera library. It's something you've never heard in The Simpsons again. It's always their own music.
It is a stock sound cue. Mm-hmm.
So
it's
funny you bring up that thing because they mention it on the commentary that it also is a hallmark of a thing that in Simpsons writing where they said, well, how, like, they were working for so long. Well, how's he going to get the tattoo? The guy's not just going to give him the tattoo. How's he, when they, like, working, they said, like, oh, look, he just does it. Like, he just says, okay, I'll do it. Boom, done.
It's a cartoon. Relax.
Well, one of my favorite, I had two favorite lines. One that made me laugh now, when hearing Milhouse say, quote-unquote, Santa, I feel like that was the first time I'd ever heard ironic quotation marks on something, which is something I do all the time. Mm. I do all the time. And then second, the big one for me that I still remember is because it became a running joke in our family. We're like, my dad likes the racetracks. He likes racetracks.
Likes
I never,
the ponies, likes the puppies.
Well, he likes gambling on dogs is just not as cool as betting on horses.
In some areas of Florida, you don't have the option, Henry.
Well, we had a dog track actually in our town, and so it was a joke where if we'd go to the dog track in the month of December, which we did a few years, as a family, mom would do the joke of, my mom would just say, you know the tradition, son, not until the eighth race.
Oh,
like,
really?
I would feed her the line of like, can we open our presents now? And then she'd say, not until the eighth race.
Encouraged like, or reinforced you quoting The Simpsons?
Exactly. From the beginning.
Insane.
We
that's
all loved it. We all, the whole family loved it.
And that's, that's the big takeaway for the show. It was something the whole family loved.
I mean, if we drive by, I would bet now I go home for Christmas and we drive by the dog track. Like, we will say, not until the eighth race. Like, it's just... And it was one of those things of us joking about. The Simpsons let us laugh at our own dysfunction. That's what we really liked about it.
Yeah, I think until like season 5, I watched it with my family whenever it was on the weekly episodes for sure. Like,
well, we were still a one TV household, which I know seems insane to me too. but yeah, that's what we had to deal with. Somebody got to pick what to watch, and everybody else suffered through it. And this is the one show that didn't feel like a slog for everyone.
Also, I thought it was a fun meta reference that Bart, I don't feel like I'd ever seen a cartoon character talk about other cartoon characters and say, if Christmas specials have taught me anything, you should believe a miracle will happen.
That was the first like meta reflexive pop culture awareness joke I'd ever seen. And one of the contenders for line of the day originally was, for the line of the show, was going to go to a follow-up to that. Let's see if I have it.
They use that voice sound so many times.
But I guess TV has betrayed me.
I don't want to leave till our dog finishes. forget it. Let's go.
And then it's Homer that screws them by believing
in
miracles more than Bart.
Even
99 times 13 is Merry Christmas.
It is great how, I mean, The Simpsons was really a reaction to what was on TV at the time.
Sure.
And, like, this episode is all about, no, TV's lying to you. There are no miracles. The only thing that brings these people together and the dog is that they are huge losers.
And I know I've said everything. This elsewhere. It's like, you know, even the president called out, there were more like the Waltons and less like The Simpsons. But The Simpsons, yes, dysfunctional, but they were more representative to me. My family... I'm the messed up one. My family's great. Mm-hmm. They're all really sweet. But this is still more representative of them than like the Tanners on Full House or anything like that. We don't talk. Yeah. This is how we spoke to one another. It was an accurate reflection. This and Roseanne were the only accurate depictions I thought of families on TV, and it was derided by moral crusaders.
But yeah, that geez. I feel like I heard that like 8 other times throughout this first 10 years.
It's like the Barney burp. They'd like grabbed it once and then like, okay, so we're kind of jumping all over the place, but sure. I had one more line that I remembered, and it's something that I just made out as an actual line this time. It's one of Grandpa Simpson's few lines.
Unadulterated pap.
Yeah. I guess I didn't know what unadulterated meant before, outside of like, you know, milk or orange juice or something. But like,
it's not like Grandpa now to be that lucid. I did love that line.
And he just like screams it.
Yes,
like,
and that was such in all the episodes we watched for this batch. It's Happy Little Elves. They were a huge part of the show because it was representative of the Smurfs.
Yeah.
At the time, the biggest thing that children were watching, and I don't like, that's why you don't see them watching Happy Little Elves, even though they still watch a fucking clown show that introduces cartoons.
Well, do you want to talk about all the stuff that got cut or the things that are like non-canonical?
Yeah, we should talk
now about
behind the scenes stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, non-canonical things. First off, like they are breaking rules all over the place. One of them definitely is nobody has Homer's 5 o'clock shadow. Mm-hmm. Nobody else has yellow hair going all the way to the top of their head. And what happened to Daria? Barney's
okay. Thank you. Originally, this was supposed to be Laser Time's closeout because the way I heard the line was "Let's roll diarrhea," and I brought that up to you guys, and like I said it on the show one time, like, "What does that mean?" And like, it's a Simpsons reference, like the episode we've all seen 1,000 times. Like, he doesn't say that. Like, every one of my friends thought he said diarrhea, and that's why we thought the line was so funny.
Like,
and I captured it. And we're going to decide on the air, okay, whether this sounds like...
Because I've heard this before, and I was listening for it when I watched.
Hey, Simpson! What did I tell you? Whirlwind! Let's go, Daria.
I heard Daria.
You mother...
If you want...
Let's go, Daria.
If you want...
Daria. Let's go, Daria.
Daria.
If you want to hear diarrhea, I think you can hear it. But, he slurs it enough, but I heard Daria.
Well, if he were to be saying, "Let's go, diarrhea," what does that even mean within the context of the
scene? I thought
scene?
It was funny that Barney Gumble had a prostitute in his car named Diarrhea. I thought that was the joke.
It's like a Family Guy joke.
But I also had never heard the word Daria before until Beavis and Butthead. Seriously, yeah. I hadn't. I'd never heard that name.
No, and here's a couple other notes I made of things that they don't do anymore, like Lisa and her pony and her desire for ponies.
Yeah. Well, she got her wish.
I think, once that episode happened, that killed the Lisa wanting a pony.
Yeah, she got her own Twilight Zone episode where she got exactly what she wanted. It turns out it wasn't all it was cracked up.
I think like every 3 years, though, they remember she likes ponies and they give her like a pony scene. Maybe.
That's like Bart's lucky red cat.
Oh, yeah.
Like a cap that shows up. There were a couple other ones. Oh, yeah. Homer, this was a sign of things to come. Homer falling off the roof, like, that's a joke they do now, except he'd have, like, it'd have been way more painful.
Well, that's my argument against, like, Homer Society fuckheads who want to trash Invincible Homer.
Edge.
Like, he fell off a roof in the first episode.
The very first episode, he falls off.
And didn't get hurt. But he did fall. It is
like a snowbank.
It was a snowbank. I don't know how snow works. I'm from Florida.
I wonder if that was their cover. Like, it'd be funny if he fell off the roof. No, that wouldn't work. All right, what if there was a snowbank? And a couple other things. One, they said that the...
Barney has no pigment in his hair. It's the same color as his skin.
Yeah, and that also the... this was from the commentaries. One of the craziest things, like just from listening to the commentaries later, you know how hard animation production is for TV. Mm-hmm. But this was the first cartoon that James L. Brooks would work on. And James L. Brooks, who's on the commentary, says that him and Richard Sakai said... Let's shoot coverage for animation. As in, let's animate more than we need so we can edit around it. Like, is such an uninformed way of doing it.
If people don't know what coverage is, it's like you shoot a scene from multiple angles, you cut them together. So if there's a scene when Homer and Marge talking, you'd shoot all of Homer talking and then all of Marge talking and then cut them together rather than figuring out where the cuts would be on like a storyboard or whatever.
That's how you do it. You find the cuts in the storyboard. You don't spend $1 million animating
it. You film Al Pacino from every angle and you try and get as many takes where he's not spitting.
Or where he doesn't look like a lost old man. His last appearance on Letterman, he looks confused and old. He's like, and then he talks about his kids who are like 12 or something. I'm like, man, fuck you.
It's like Larry King's kids. Future Simpsons guests.
I think that's all the things I thought were like, oh, this is so... They wouldn't do this now or they wouldn't do this now. Flanders would have been nicer to Homer. And also the opening bit where Homer's walking by people like, hey, Fred, what are you doing here? Like, he's just saying names. Like, they're just random names. Yeah. They're not his friends.
I was going to point out that it's the only time... Well, no, this first season... Bart being friends with Lewis. The show to me established that he had any friend other than Milhouse, but as the show wore on, Bart has one friend and it's Milhouse.
Yeah. He had Martin and Lewis. Yeah. So we only saw Lewis in this one.
The thing about Flanders is right, though. Like, the joke today would be Flanders would be really nice and Homer would just be a dick because he was being nice. But in that scene, he wasn't being nice.
No,
he was kind of highlighting how poor Homer was. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Well, then Homer isn't... It's in the ones we've watched for this batch of recordings in general... Mm-hmm. Homer, the haters on Homer on current system, the haters of current seasons hate jerk-ass Homer, who is the Homer who says, out of my way, jerk-ass, who is just basically a comedic sociopath.
But you also,
Homer is not that guy at all.
He's the most thoughtful version of this character.
He's the family savior at all times.
Yeah, that he cares, he's stupid, and he can sometimes react poorly to situations, but he has a good heart, and that goodness slowly melts away to make him a better idiot joke machine, which I'm not saying is bad, but it's weird to see Homer starting from like 10 miles an hour to now see him at just constant... Well, I think we saw them go to like 120 miles an hour. Now they've eased back to like 90.
Yeah, I can say that like I was recently watching random DVDs and I put on season 12 and I've watched like half of it so far. In that season, he is just Peter Griffin, like period. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going to back to these, it's such a huge change. That's probably when he was at his worst, that era yes. of the show.
Yep. Because they didn't care, I felt they cared the least about characterization, which oppositely in this one, they care so much about it and the reality of it. Like, though then again, there's also the disreality of Marge keeping the jar on her head all year long, and that's how she hides the Christmas money. Like, that's pretty crazy. No crazier than Homer fighting a giant spider to sneak out of the Springfield power plant.
Is this also... They do a take to camera at the end. Don't they say Merry Christmas?
I think they're kind of looking at each other.
Isn't the last thing like a snapshot that's taken?
Yes.
Like,
Yeah, that's right. And then they sing for the nice people.
Yeah.
And by the way, this the commentaries, just to show you how old this is, the commentaries were recorded before 9/11 because the DVDs came out in September 25th. 2001.
Still one of the best DVD sets ever made.
Yeah. So they recorded it before 9/11, and they were in production on seasons 13 and 14 when they recorded the commentaries. That's how long ago it was.
Well, do we want to do line of the show?
Yeah. I mean, are we voting?
No, because I'm going to give it to a character. Because like this, since I grabbed these bobs, it's my right, my birthright. I wanted to give it to Aunt Patty. Aunt Patty has numerous lines that have always cracked me up, some that still remain timelessly funny. There's one in here that's just, I don't know, it's always cracked me up. This is how she's introduced. This is her introduction to us.
Homer.
Yeah, hello.
Marge, please.
Who's this?
May I please speak to Marge?
This is her sister, isn't it?
Is Marge there?
Who shall I say is calling?
Marge, please.
It's your sister.
No.
There's that. I think that's a great exchange.
Yeah,
Marge, please.
It's a great way to introduce the character,
and it works good for a podcast because it's all audio.
Yes. Like,
that was also I liked early on. You seeing the Simpsons exploring audio only jokes instead of getting you visually with.
Yeah, and
jokes.
I think I don't know. I've always said that to you guys who hate on newer episodes of The Simpsons, and they're not the same to me. But like one of the things is, I think they couldn't afford to animate certain things, so a lot of things would happen off screen, or they would be sound based. Whereas now they show everything and they dwell on it for a really long time.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah.
Well, and you can hear on the comment. This is something Bob you wrote a whole article about that a long time ago, but. On the commentaries, you can hear Matt wincing and like, that guy's off model. Oh, that's so ugly. But they became so interested in being on model, it stamped out a lot of the creativity.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of animation rules they broke, not knowing how to animate anything, that ended up becoming staples we find synonymous with the series. Mm-hmm. I'm not even done with my Patty clips.
Oh, please continue.
This cracked me up as a kid, still cracks me up now. I'm not sure it's the greatest joke in the world. Homer can't even afford a Christmas tree. He has to go chop one down and steal one. Gets hounds released and shots fired at him, brings it home.
So, what do you think, kids? Beauty, isn't it?
Well, yay, Dad!
Why is there a birdhouse in it?
Or that's an ornament.
I don't know why. I'm sorry. I love that one.
Like, I think that like two of the episodes we watched for this recording session, Homer or the family were chased away with guns.
Yeah.
The gunfires. Like guns were being shot off.
On the commentary, they also said they were concerned, like, Homer steals a tree. Is that too far? Is he unlikable? Like, they didn't know.
And we never had the discussion again.
Yeah.
And this is probably a better scene for Lisa, but Patty's great in it. It's a great scene in general, but it's the first show for us. We don't know that it's the 7-1 in airing order, but it's such a huge piece of Lisa's personality.
Yeah,
a great introduction.
Yeah,
and I love the delivery and everything.
Yay! Unadulterated pep.
Yeah.
It's almost 9 o'clock. Where's Homer anyway? It's so typical of the big doofus to spoil it all.
What, Aunt Patty?
No, nothing, dear. I'm just trashing your father.
Well, I wish you wouldn't, because aside from the fact that he has the same frailties as all human beings, he's the only father I have. Therefore, he is my model of manhood, and my estimation of him will govern the prospects of my adult relationships. So I hope you bear in mind that any knock at him is a knock at me, and I am far too young to defend myself against such onslaughts.
Mm-hmm. Go watch your cartoon show, dear.
And that is why Patty wins a line of the show.
Where's Patty?
That's just a joke.
Yeah. I love it.
I love that.
I'll give it to Patty.
I like those flashes of Lisa. Lisa and Bart may as well. They were both just troublemakers usually, but in the first season. So until Moaning Lisa, I would suppose.
Watching these early episodes, you always feel like The Simpsons got big, but they started big. Mm-hmm. With a lot of different characters and personality types, and a lot of it is on display in this very first episode.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
There's only a few episodes in season one that feel outright wrong.
Yeah.
This is not one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe two or three just feel like a different show, like the wrong show, but this feels very, very much like... Despite this few discrepancies, I wasn't bored or anything with it. I was surprised.
Yeah, there's a lot more pregnant pauses than you'd get on any, even a season three episode of The Simpsons. But they weren't up to speed yet of packing in jokes or references to films or whatever. I actually don't think there's any. I guess the Happy Little Elves count, but there's no direct reference to, this is inspired. This angle's inspired from this film. This is a tribute to this thing, and I think it holds up pretty well too, but I also can't. It would be impossible for me to watch this objectively. Yeah. It is just a cornerstone. Childhood began, or my adult, whatever. My life began when I watched
it. I remember nothing before this episode aired, and then it's all memories.
The 80s are nothing. I was playing Super Mario Brothers. That was it. And then once the 80s were over and the 90s began after this episode, all Simpsons.
Yeah.
For better or worse, taught me about my life and how to live it.
Oh my God, these commercials are so 90s in the middle. Jesus. Anyway, yes. Is that it? Are we wrapped?
I think we're good. That's our first episode, so please keep...
Yeah, we want to plug stuff, but this is a Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, patrons.
And if you don't know how this works, we want to do this as a regular show, but we want to start distributing to everybody with the second season, but it needs to unlock first. Patreon donators will get the first season at a $5 reward minimum. At patreon.com/lasertime, I think is the URL. We're recording this in advance in case it's not obvious, but we can't embark on another program just yet until we can get everybody paid. And that's what we're new content for you. How is it? Maybe you should try another one. We were trying to say, I really wanted to, let's try and stick to 30 minutes. We shouldn't have a Simpsons show that's longer than the Simpsons show.
Though this one we had to cover.
Totally.
We had to cover the history of entertainment before the Simpsons started. So. Yeah, I think we'll be faster next time. Cut to 90-minute episodes.
Who knows? One day, I probably won't have Laser Time content, and this will just go up as a regular episode.
Yeah, and this will just be the longest. Boy, what will we be like by the 26th season of this?
Oh, goodness. I don't want to think about that.
will we be as crappy as The Simpsons are now?
I'll be spinning in my grave as Chris Hardwick just starts it for no reason. That's where we'll be. But anyway, that is it for us. You want to take us out, Bobby? Any plugs?
As always, I do stuff for usgamer.net and Retronauts, my class gaming podcast, so check me out on those things, and you can follow me on Twitter as Bob Serbo. How about you guys?
If you don't know, I'm HENEREYG on Twitter by now, and I don't know what to tell you, but yeah, hey, listen to Cape Crisis, too. That's always good.
I got nothing. Thanks, guys.